Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is your host, Kevin. With me this week is Shahid. How you doing, Shahid?
Well, I'm finally doing fine after our slight or very non-slight technical difficulties.
Yeah, no, Jeremy is having technical difficulties of his own. He's trying to figure out a new recording program since our trusty Pamela that we've used for quite some time has been booted off the market. And Ken and I have a template set up to do OPA, but I think it just records into a single microphone. I think that's the main problem I have now. As soon as I open this up to just recording on my laptop, I could finally hear you on the recording. So I just hope that as we go through this, you're not too quiet and I'm not too loud.
Okay, I'll try to enunciate and put some bass in my voice.
Oh, I don't think you need to worry about trying to put bass in your voice. I think that's that part's covered. Well, I guess the main topic this week, since we're actually going to talk wrestling, I mean, God forbid we talk wrestling on the site, is really Daniel Bryan has to give up the title because of medical reasons. Because he wasn't on there, does that make it more suspicious that he may not be that hurt?
From, like, I don't really keep up with, like, the dirt sheets anymore, but from what I did read, it seems like they're kind of playing this, truthfully, like, Vince is kind of booking this, and it's kind of, you know, the whole, well, if he can wrestle, he'll wrestle, but if he don't, we'll take the belt. It's kind of like they don't know about his injury, like, they're not sure, and I think, you know, the initial thought process was, well, it'll be a minor thing, it shouldn't be too much, and like I always say about surgery, you never know until you cut somebody open and see how the damage is, so they're probably kind of in a wait-and-see period like everybody else. And the weird thing is they're taking a true life situation and turning the storyline, but it's not like it's a BS storyline. It's like he really had neck surgery. They really may not be sure. So,
yeah, I feel like that was part of the reason why that segment to me at the beginning of the show just really seemed like it went over like a fart in church. Because I just think that everyone's bummed. You know, like, I don't know of any reason to be happy that Daniel Bryan isn't wrestling right now.
It's none whatsoever. It is, I think it's the, it's in a weird way, WWE's always been kind of babyface oriented when it comes to champion, but Daniel Bryan, but his whole story's been the journey. Like, you know, will he ever get the title? Will he ever overcome? And he got it. It's like it's been downhill since then. And it really hasn't had, and it's not his fault. You know, first, he didn't have any opponents to wrestle. His dad dies. He's stuck with Kane. Then he has a good match, and then he has neck issues. It's kind of, and it's almost like we got what we wanted, and now we're dealing with the consequences.
Yeah, no, and it's, it was kind of funny because I was talking, when I was talking to Jeremy about it, I was just like, oh, well, now they can just do a former champions match like they did a couple of years ago at Money in the Bank, where they had one that was all people who hadn't won the title before and one that people who had. And I started looking at the roster and I just started scratching my head. I'm just like, oh my lord. I'm not saying that CM Punk would provide a lot more depth, but wow, you take him out of the equation and then you lose Daniel Bryan too, and things are really thin.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Not only that, no, there's no CM Punk there, there's no Daniel Bryan there, and for better or worse, there's no Batista there. And it's kind of, you had your top people tied up with, you know, the whole Shield Evolution thing. It was like six names off the board, and that really affected Daniel Bryan. Who would Daniel Bryan wrestle? And, you know, if you had that money in the bank, you really want Mark Henry climbing a ladder? You know, Kane, Big Show.
They always seem to love to do that, though, for whatever reason. They've got to throw a big man in one of those matches.
Yeah, one is fine, but you go like, you know, former champs, and you have about three, four, you know, this really, you know, you have what, Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, and people still remember that he was actually champion, you know. It's not a lot of depth. It's kind of, it's real top heavy with Evolution, The Shield, the Wyatts, and John Cena, and then it's just a big drop off. It's like all the new people.
Yeah, no, and even someone like, I don't think they give the title to Bray Wyatt. Like, he might be in the match, but I don't see him winning it.
Yeah. Like, younger people who might have a chance aren't ready yet. You know, Bray Wyatt might be in the match, but he necessarily wouldn't win. You know, Roman Reigns, his time will come, but he's not ready. And, you know, Wade Barrett's in the same boat. I would guess if it's anybody, maybe Cesaro, because he has a mouthpiece. But I don't even know if he's necessarily ready for that yet, because they haven't really given him a lot of wins. He's been traded back and forth, dealing with Sheamus and Wade Barrett. Like, all of a sudden, you're going to put the title on him. And it's kind of, I guess, you know, we had a list. It would be weird having the belt with Cesaro with Paul Heyman there, knowing who else Paul Heyman manages.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely think that he's someone that should enter this conversation anyway, Brock Lesnar. And he, because that was another thing that Jeremy and I covered. We really thought, we were wondering whether it was worth Brock Lesnar coming back to hold the title. Like, that would really give Daniel Bryan another mountain to climb when he comes back to get his title shot.
Yeah, I'm like, title chase important, who's bigger to put the belt on than Brock Lesnar? Like, the whole point of the belt is to, you know, elevate it and make it seem like a big deal. And I don't really see anybody else on the roster right now that would be a bigger deal having a title that's credible than Brock Lesnar. People can make the argument saying, well, he's not there, it's part-time, and that's, I don't need to see the champ every week, you know, every week. And I really don't even need to see him every pay-per-view. Make it seem important. He's there every other pay-per-view. He's talking on Raw, but when he wrestles, he's beating somebody's ass and just dominating people. It makes it a big deal when Daniel Bryan finally beats him. But other than that, you know, I don't really want to see John Cena having the belt again. I don't definitely don't want to see Randy Orton having the belt. And it's, you know, there's nobody else on the roster heel-wise that's credible enough where I feel like Daniel Bryan beating him is a big deal. Daniel Bryan is beating everybody else.
Yeah, no, that was the other bad thing when I was perusing through the rosters. I just went, why are John Cena and Randy Orton the only two people that I am sitting here staring at going, they have a chance. That's about it. You know, outside of someone like Lesnar, because like you said, it seems like Batista is gone for, you know, at least an amount of time that he's not going to get the title. And even some of those other guys that you mentioned already, Del Rio's not going to get it, Ziggler's not going to get it. You could throw Christian in the mix, I guess.
He's closer to the retirement window than another match, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I'm just throwing names out there, because I was just like, oh my gosh, that's just another one where I go back to having CM Punk there, and, you know, even really Daniel Bryan, it's just like they helped, they finally gave the WWE something of a main event scene, and it's all been wiped off the map at the current moment.
The funny thing has been kind of a gradual thing over, I would say, the past 4 years, 5 years. And it's kind of like right now, it finally caught up. Before, it was, you know, you didn't have Shawn Michaels. didn't have Edge. You know, Chris Jericho, part-time, you really didn't have him. You didn't have Batista. So it was like, okay, well, you know, we can bring Undertaker every now and then. We can bring Brock Lesnar. We can bring The Rock. We can bring a name. We can bring Triple H back. Well, now it's like, you know, you can't, The Rock's busy. Can't really bring, you know, Triple H is there, but he's not going to wrestle all the time, and he really doesn't have anything to prove. You don't have anybody now to bring back. That's really a big deal. You never really replaced those people that left. The new people aren't ready yet. And now, you know, you don't have CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan is out. So it's kind of like you have John Cena, you have The Shield, Evolution, the Wyatts, and then you got people, you know, finding their spot. Like, they aren't ready yet, more or less. They have a youth movement coming in, a lot of young people, but I don't care how many times they push Rusev there, they can have them come out on a Russian horse for all I care. It's not him. You gotta put him in SummerSlam. He's not ready yet. And I know they're pushing, and they're pushing him, and he gets healed, but it's just kind of... Yeah.
They're trying too hard with him. Like, and you can tell that they're just kind of panicking because every week they like add another pony to the show that is Rusev. That's it. I did love the finally. Okay, you know what's wrong with Rusev? He's getting a little bit of heat, but he'll get more if he just has one name.
It starts from that first, he just, you know, he is the Bulgarian Emperor. Then he migrates to Russia. Then it's the whole thing, well, Alexander's too nice of a name, let's just call him Rusev. Then it's the whole thing, you show Putin every week, okay, that's fine. Then it's the whole thing, Americans are weak. And then, what, he won the Russian Star of the Union, and they had the flag and the anthem, and nobody ran out. Now he's waving the flag, he wins a match, they're drooping the flag down. I'm like, okay, just have him ride out on the horse. But if he's not there at SummerSlam, I won't be disappointed, because they're just pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, Lana's easy eye candy. And they even have her change her talk, because when she was doing that whole sing-along thing, that was catching on too much. So they cut that out. And it is, it's manufactured. Much like Rusev in the ring is fine, but it's kind of like he's a big deal because they're telling me he's a big deal. That's it. It's not organic.
Yeah. That's the main problem to me with that whole setup, is that it just, even when it's just like, oh, she does the crush thing, that just drives me up a wall. Because it's just like, come on, man, we're over the wild Samoan guy who came in and only Mr. Fuji can control him. You know, it's just like, why would he listen to her? Like, I mean, she hasn't really given us any, like, I guess maybe if she showed some type of super intelligence or something like that, it would make sense, but she's just doing, like, this tired shtick that, I mean, we haven't even heard the shtick in years, but, like, as soon as it started coming out of her mouth, it was tired.
Yeah, I mean, you know where it's coming from, and they can't really say, well, why would he listen to her? Like, we know why, but it's still a PG show, and I don't think they can go there. But just the whole, just stick up is, like, he's not going to do anything until she says so. And who's he really like, you know, we joke about it in our wrestling group, beating a bunch of black jobbers is a really big deal. So,
yeah.
And I forgot Zach Riley, he hasn't beaten anybody.
Well, and that's the other problem with him, is it's been the same guys. He's beaten Zack Ryder twice, he's beaten some combination of Xavier Woods and R-Truth, and just more matches than I already care to count, five or six. And it's just like, okay, great. He can beat these guys up. It doesn't matter. You know, move him up the food chain a little bit. But I guess that's why he's not moving up, because they're just like, okay, this isn't quite working out as well as we want this to.
And not only that, it's no really upper mid card. Like, move up to who? You know, like, Kofi Kingston, he's busy getting jobbed out to book Dallas. Mark Henry's not a, you know, Mark, and I want to say Mark Henry, like, him beating up black people on Raw.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that, I hadn't really thought about it, but that problem, despite bringing in all the fresh faces, is still a bit of a problem. Because, I mean, I would put Ziggler in that mid-card area, because they let him win some cheap matches, but for the most part, he is not getting back into that title picture anytime soon. And, but yeah, outside of Ziggler, it's just like, who else is in there? I guess I'd have to look at the roster to even start to hazard a guess.
You can look at the roster, it's not going to be any names come up. You got Ziggler, Rob Van Dam, you count Goldust, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's busy with his own thing, which is just equally as weird.
Yeah, like, what's the point, you know? And it's like, I'm not a good enough tag team partner for you, so just go find these bums and keep losing. Like, to prove a point that, you know, you really miss me. You know, it's like they get Sin Cara and R-Truth. And JBL's making a good point, like, you know, you can't just throw two guys together that's good single wrestlers and be the tag team. You know, and it's like, especially if it's singing, it's not like he's gone up there, he's getting Sheamus, he's getting jobbers. Sin Cara, he got R-Truth. Who was it that he got? He got Kofi once.
Yeah, I think it's only been three guys so far. Well, yeah, I think this week was number three.
I thought he got somebody like either main event or SmackDown. I remember they said he got Kofi one time.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize to Chris if it was on main event, and I don't remember it.
So, and I was like, I was saying, why don't you get Rey Mysterio? Oh, that's the name. And somebody else who knows is the Rey Mysterio Jr.
Oh, yeah, Kofi was on main event.
So, it's kind of like, he only has so many bleeding to get, that's not getting beat up by other people on, you know, lower big car feuds. And I'm curious to see how it plays out Monday, which is, I like that they're giving multiple people storylines and they care, but the storylines kind of like, it's good they have storylines, but I really don't care that much, you know, the whole stuff with Jack Swagger and Culture.
Yeah.
It's nice, you know, I want to beat up all the jobber foreigners, so, and beating Santino doesn't matter that much to me. Santino's not a big deal. And Adam Rose has been beating them every time they wrestle. It's like they get them stories, and I like that, but the stories don't have any weight to them. You know, you can get away with that in 99. You know, that whole Russo thing, everyone has a story. When you have Stone Cold and The Rock at the top. At the top now, you got you got The Shield and a bunch of noise.
And, I'm going through this roster, and it is brutal. Just, and The Miz is off doing another movie. Like, he's worth a shit anyway these days.
You better off just doing movies. Don't come back. Movies and do, you know, pre-show and post-show. So.
My woman was so pissed that Summer Rae is in the Marine Corps. I couldn't stop laughing at that.
Yeah, it's just, she's funny because Summer Rae looks great till she opens up her mouth, and then it's like, I could never cheer for her. She just, it's her voice, her demeanor, it's like, she's just a bitch.
Well, yeah, and they have, well, and that's another one that just, that I just don't understand is they've given it, unless they did something to turn her to a better person in the last two episodes of Total Divas, like, they have portrayed her as nothing but a cunty bitch. And for whatever reason, I think they want us to cheer her because Layla's with Fandango now?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like, you know, I watch Total Divas. I see how she's portrayed on Total Divas. So, watching it on SmackDown, like, she's supposed to be nice because, you know, she left her man and you got somebody else. So, maybe it's the whole thing. They felt like they couldn't have two heel lady blondes. Like, her and Lana could be heels at the same time. Whatever. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I do always love the too many insert hair color here problem.
Yeah, when I was just thinking, when Charlotte showed up on the main roster, then the Ghost had three tall blondes, that's going to be a problem.
Well, you'll still have one short, muscly one that keeps on losing. Oh, man. Well, some of these smaller points, I guess, have been hiding some of these larger points, was what I was thinking in the middle of all this, too. I guess the original topic really was getting that title back on somebody's waist. Good gravy. I mean, what, we both agreed that Brock Lesnar would be a good way to go. Cena and Orton are just tired. I mean, do you think there's anyone in that... Cesaro qualified, but I guess I'm agreeing with you, too, that he's probably not quite ready for the job yet.
Well, I mean, if you have somebody, if you're decent in the ring, if you talk well, you have somebody talk well for you, you can push almost anybody. And I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with Cesaro being champ with Paul Heyman there, because, like, it made Cesaro enough of a big deal, like, he can hang with anybody in the ring. He's got that down. Paul Heyman can put beside Curtis Axel, can make anybody seem important. But I don't see how they can do that and then have that big elephant in the room. They've been talking about, you know, his client, Brock Lesnar, that broke the streak. He deserves a title shot. He came here to be champ. He needs to be champ. And then I couldn't see how you put the belt on Cesaro and then just ignore that whole thing about Brock Lesnar. What does Brock Lesnar think about that?
Yeah, no, for all of Heyman's brilliance after WrestleMania, that is a lingering question from the whole build-up to him beating the streak, was that it all started because he was ready to walk out on WrestleMania because he did not have a worthy opponent. And when The Undertaker decided to insert himself into that equation was when, you know, he had something to go for. It's just like, well, then what happened to that?
I guess the whole thing was, well, he fulfilled what he wanted to do. He put the Undertaker out, and that's enough. And that would have worked if every week Paul Heyman had come out saying, you know, my client did this. He wants the title. But in the meantime, I got Cesaro. And you can't. Like, he's been trying to build them both up at the same time. Like, every time he's out, he's reminding you, you know, Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker. Brock Lesnar's a big deal. But my guy Cesaro's a big deal, too. You can't have two guys going after the world title at the same time. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so you're, does that mean since Cesaro's in there, you're dismissing Lesnar as a possibility then?
I would say, I don't know. If it'd be one or the other, I would rather be Brock Lesnar, and then you can build build that split with him and Cesaro. I could see it being Cesaro, because it's kind of like, you know, if Cesaro had the belt, Brock Lesnar's still around, what does he do? You know, when he takes the belt, you know, I've heard people say, let, you know, Lesnar win the belt and have Cesaro cash in. I guess it could work that way. I couldn't see the other way around. Or I could see, you know, let Cesaro win the belt, Brock beats him, and Cesaro the babyface. But it just seems weird, like, having both of them, you know, one guy's on TV every week, but the other guy's still lurking in the shadow, and they both want the title. They're both heels. Like, I remember watching, you know, when I was a kid, either Mr. Perfect went after the world title, or Rick Rude went after the world title, but they never went after it at the same time. And it just reminds me of that.
I can see that parallel. And, I guess with, they don't have a whole lot of time left until this pay-per-view. So, I mean, if you're going to introduce him, I would hope that you'd get that cat out of the bag early in the process. And he wouldn't have had much of a travel day being in Minnesota there.
That's true.
But, nope, he didn't even go for that, so... I'm kind of, as much as I like the idea, I don't think it is a plausible one right now. So, Cesaro's in the match, and I think he's going to be the only Heyman client in there. Because, yeah, like you said, it just, and one other thing, I guess, with Heyman and Cesaro there, it'd be weird after he breaks up with Coulter so recently for him to just jump ship on Heyman right away. I would hope that they would keep them together at least for a longer period of time than whatever it'd be, 4 months or something.
That's true. That's definitely true. Make it seem like a big deal when he finally does split. Not to know. Because him being there for like a few months and leaving, it kind of was like, eh. Then it's just kind of like, you know, not really, you don't have anything invested in it. I think the thing is they're trying to have stuff invested in the feud, so when it finally blows up, exploded, means more than that whole, let's do it for 2 weeks or a month and then move on to the next thing.
Oh, yeah. And then what was that?
Why does John Cena have to be, you know, he has his magic hand, and then he has to do his Hulk Hogan and endorse whoever the next baby face is, because he's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, that, that was the other one there. what the hell? Oh, I don't know. I asked the question to you. I asked the question to the general public. Why don't you go with the your thoughts on that one?
I get tired of it myself, but they have a history of doing that. Because, you know, for all the jokes we make, John Cena is, you know, is today Hulk Hogan 2.0. From, you know, how he's booked to, you know, like he's a heel, his baby face. That's cheered by kids and kind of turned the nose on by grown-ups. He's that whole, you know, climbing on the hot thing. Like, when Macho Man was making his run, Hulk Hogan endorsed him. Oh, he's an important brother. Follow him. When Ultimate Warrior had his thing, Hulk Hogan endorsed him, too. He knows he didn't get an endorsement of Bret Hart, and it's kind of like Bret Hart had to, you know, overcome that. It's the same thing, you know, with John Cena. It's like, he did it with Daniel Bryan. He did it a little bit to a certain extent. And even with a heel, you know, I gave Dolph Ziggler a chance, cheer for Dolph Ziggler. I'm giving CM Punk a chance, you know, cheer for him. This is like whole, it's almost like, you know, you can't take somebody seriously unless John Cena says so. Because John Cena, even though he's not really he's in the main event, but he's not really in the main event, if that makes any sense. But his weight, he's, you know, his, almost kind of like he's the Undertaker. As scary as that sound, like, you know, he's the big voice in the locker room. He puts your endorsement because every time I see Alex Riley on the pre-show, I just think about, you know, he crossed John Cena the wrong way, and that's why, you know, his wrestling career is over. He's not even at all, more or less.
Oh, man. Yeah. Alex Riley. I'm glad I don't watch the pre-show.
He's good in that role, but it's just weird seeing him. Like, Alex Riley's not that old. And I remember watching him be, you know, he's an up-and-coming fighting the Miz. He has a nice look. He's got nice music. And then it's, you know, he had a hissy fit about some joke John Cena did. And then he just vanished. The next thing you know, he's behind the booth. So...
Yeah, no. When it happened to Josh Matthews, I was not surprised because of his size. But with Alex Riley, he certainly had you know, the size to fit in with the rest of the roster. So it was a little more surprising in that regard. I guess, in a way, it made sense to have John... Well, it didn't kind of make sense. It made complete sense that John Cena was in the match with the... with the remainder of the Shield. Ambrose and Reigns there. Because he does hate the Wyatts, you know? That's one of those things where when you're just coming off of a feud... Like, I would see no reason for anybody to not step up in that situation. I think that's said properly. You know, if you just got done feuding with them and then they go out and beat someone down, it's just like, nah, I'm still kind of pissed at you, man. I don't care if I beat you. You're still kind of a dick. So, yeah. It made sense to have him out there, and I guess it's... Yeah, I can't go wrong with all your points. That, I mean, he is the guy still, for reasons we've already talked about. Punk left, but even if Punk's there, Cena's still the top guy, and Daniel Bryan is definitely too new to be endorsing anyone.
he just got endorsed himself. And I do like the point that I think it was either Cole or somebody made, kind of like, you know, Cena's out there to, you know, he's against the Wyatt, not because he's friends with the Shield. Like, you know, the Shield's going to have a hard time finding friends because they spent the past year and a half beating up everybody. And that was always my biggest thing with the Shield. Once they turn babyface, like, there's a reason you don't have babyface factions. Like, seeing them beat up people 3-on-1, get away with that when you're a heel. When you go babyface, like, it's smart, but, you know, it's a real reason the horsemen never worked like babyface, like jumping people. You know, jumping somebody, you know, 3-on-1 and putting them to a table, that's just, you know, that's smart, but it's not, you know, a sportsman thing to do. How you gonna really get cheered at?
Right. Yeah, no, you can't really cheer that, and, yeah, their face turn was done really for a short enough time period that they got away with it, and what, it was really against the Wyatts and against Evolution, so they had a couple of strong, oh, and I forgot about that sorry thing called a match at WrestleMania against whatever... The New Age Outlaws and somebody else. oh, jeez. So, yeah, I mean, they've kind of faced some opponents that were easily hateable. So you didn't quite mind the tactics as much. Yeah, no, I thought the commentators did a great job actually kind of establishing that dividing line. I do make fun of them quite a bit, but I thought that was a good point that they had brought up, and wondering if he would... And they didn't really... well, actually, the only thing that they didn't sell to me in that match was the fact that Cena wasn't getting tagged in. at the very beginning of the match. It was made obvious by Ambrose and Reigns, which I thought was kind of a good way to go.
Yeah, because, you know, like I say, they might be tag, they might be team, but it's kind of, you know, you're not part of us. This whole habits die hard. I'm used to tagging somebody got a black vest like I got. I'm tagging some guy with a purple shirt, you know, he's out here for me. So, and I know there's a lot of complaints about the whole turn, you know, like it was kind of, I was just laughing when it happened because it's like people were just losing their damn minds. Oh, WWE doesn't know what they're doing. They're just throwing stuff against the wall. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, from a storyline standpoint, it makes perfect sense. Because the whole thing was, you know, what else was the Shield going to do? Like, they beat Evolution 2 pay-per-views in a row, relatively clean. Like, the last one is an elimination match. He went 3-0. He beat Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista. Batista leaves. So, the options are what Triple H is going to get somebody, you know, he's going to get Sheamus or somebody else to join Evolution, or is he going to take somebody from the Shield? And out of the three, like they said, you know, like Seth Rollins' promo, Dean Ambrose is a maniac. I couldn't see Dean Ambrose leaving to an Evolution. Roman Reigns has too much of, you know, an alpha male personality to do that. And they have, like, Rollins left when he first had the issue, you know, when the Shield was having their problems. He left and he was like, you got to work it out. But they always made a big deal, like, you know, he was the glue holding the team together. He was the architect of the Shield and blah, blah, blah. So all the pieces were there, so if you do that storyline, it makes sense. And then from a non-storyline point of view, Batista's going to make a movie. Daniel Bryan's not there. What are you going to do? So you got to do something to build the TV time.
Yeah, no, I really... yeah, the only thing that they hadn't done is beat the Wyatts clean, but that's fine. You know, I don't think that needs to be done to seal the to change things for the Shield. And I thought I thought two-thirds of the Shield did a very good verbal job on Monday there. Ambrose cut really the most fantastic promo I think he's cut in the WWE, at least on not within NXT. And I thought Rollins did a great job defending his point, and I'm glad they waited for the bigger stage of Monday night to have him explain it too.
So I'm guessing you weren't a fan of the third member's promo. I know she said two to three. Yeah, like, I, you know, Ambrose always cracks me up because he doesn't really cut promos. He just talks. Like how a crazy man in a fight would talk. Like, you know, I'm going to pull your nose onto the, you know, where your ear's going to be if I didn't tear your hair off. And I'm going to knock your teeth out. And I'm going to do this and do that. Like, you know, it's not, you don't really script stuff like that. That's how a crazy man would talk. But it makes sense, you know, and...
Yeah, it wasn't so over the top that it was just like, ugh. It sounded just crazy enough.
It sounded Mick Foley crazy and not Terry Funk crazy.
And what was what point did I jump on, though, before, or to continue that one? There was something else you wanted to say.
Oh, but Roman Reigns, this thing is, he's always, I think the less he talks, the better his promos are. Like, it's always short to the point. His whole thing is, but you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and I'm cool about it. Like, he doesn't lose his temper. He's not a screamer or a shouter. Like, he'll say, you know, a cute line and throw the mic down.
Yeah, no, I don't. I guess I don't think he's terrible, but he's definitely, you know, you can see why Rollins and Ambrose did the majority of the talking. And, you know, he's going to have to work on it. I mean, they have certainly positioned him the highest out of the three. Although, I mean, you really could say that now they've positioned Rollins the highest, considering he got to be the one who turns. I mean, it's going to be easy to remember him. but what the fuck was I going towards there? But yeah, Reigns just needs some practice, and to me, there's no way to get it if you're not getting it.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
I'm sorry. I mean, I think he's in the same boat. They make the comparison like the same boat Batista. You know, Batista got a his promo when he first came compared to where he finally ended up, like night and day. That just came, you know, repetition. And it's they're in the same boat. You know, they don't have to cut long promos. They can get by. Words and presence, and that's how Reigns. That's why Reigns has, you know, he has the look. He definitely has, you know, guys like him, women love him. Like he definitely has that cool factor about, like, you know, women just love some Roman Reigns. You know, he can just cut. He doesn't really need to cut a 5-minute promo. Kind of like he's not good enough to do it. So why even, you know, do 1 minute at a time, get your reps in, get better. You know, that'll come with time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He doesn't really need to become some big speech maker, but he could certainly use the brushing up. But again, like there's no way to get to that point if you're just not given the time to do it. I mean, that always drove me bananas with Ziggler when they kept on giving him mouthpieces, and even in some ways, as much as I like Heyman with Cesaro, it'll be interesting to see Cesaro not have a mouthpiece in the WWE at some point.
Yeah. What's weird about that is kind of like, when I watch Cesaro on the network, on those countdown shows, he talks fine. And when he first started, you know, I never had an issue with his promo, besides the fact they were just goofy, because they were like the whole, I'm going to say this in 5 languages. Like, it's not like he can't speak or he doesn't have cadence. It's just, for whatever reason, they say, you know, he can't cut promos, so let's get Oksana to cut promos for him. I'm like, she can barely speak English. So how's she going to be his mouthpiece? Like, it just didn't fit. And it's kind of like they put that label on him where he's a great wrestler, but he seems kind of bland, so I doubt he can talk that well, so let's put a mouthpiece on him. It's kind of self-fulfilling. If he doesn't, you don't let him talk.
Why
you don't think he ever talks?
Yeah, it's a head scratcher. I just don't get it. Now, I guess this is one offshoot question. There's kind of a stupid question, but for whatever reason, Ronda Rousey has decided to make her presence felt in multiple Instagram videos and tweets here in the last couple of weeks about being she was horrified at the Seth Rollins turn, and then this week I saw her tweeting about joining the Shield. It just kind of, at least it made me think about one thing. I mean, do Reigns and Ambrose try to bring in a third person, or do they just kind of play out this feud with Rollins and then kind of walk their own way?
That's kind of tough. Well, I don't think Ronda is busy trying to fight Floyd Mayweather first, so I don't know if she'll be able to have time to join the Shield. But, as far as them getting a third member, it's kind of like, I don't see how they couldn't, because they keep running into a numbers game. Like, saw what happened on Monday. If you're not dealing with Triple H and Randy Orton, you got the Wyatts. So, it's always going to, they're used to fighting, you know, 3-on-3 or 3-against-whatever. It just doesn't fit with just the two of them. It's just like a tag team. But then the question comes, well, who do you put in as the third person? Because whoever it is going to have tough shoes to fill. And it's always going to be, well, you know, it's not the same as the original. The only thing you can get away with it is better. Like, the Horsemen got away with, you know, replace Ole Anderson because he was better. He was a better fit. If they pop in, you know, not Kofi Kingston in there, things like that, Big E would have been a good fit had they treated him better instead of, you know, just, he just fell off the wagon. But on the, I don't know if it's anybody in developmental, you can say, what, Sami Zayn or somebody like that, that you can bring up that's a good enough wrestler, a good enough talker, that's legal enough to do it. Maybe him, but I don't know. It's kind of like you're dooming someone to failure, but they haven't been around that long, but the Shield just seems like they've been around for like a zillion years. and it is fit. So, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I would say they should have three, but I don't think it's any amount of rust that could be that third person that wouldn't do them or that person a service.
Well, and you brought up another question, at least in my mind, when you were talking about it there, was the fact that, at least anybody that has the WWE Network has the chance to watch NXT. Do they have to make the gimmick seamless at this point? I mean, because somebody had mentioned that the Shield didn't really wrestle as the Shield in NXT, I thought I read.
You can make tweaks. I think it's kind of where, and I think they have the best of both worlds. You can follow the people before they get to WWE, so, like, you know, when they show up, they have an identity, like, you know about them. But you don't have to, it doesn't have to be carbon copies, like, if it works like Bo Dallas, he's a good example. Like, his gimmick works. They haven't had to make any tweaks to it for whatever reason. Like, he followed it in NXT. It's translated so far in WWE. But it's some other ones where, you know, you just bring them up, you don't make any changes to it. It's going to kind of die on the vine. So it's like, you can still keep that base, but changes here and there. I wouldn't go the whole route where, you know, you have, like, Brodus Clay. He talked about, you know, I have Brodus Clay as a monster, and I'm building up where it's like, you know, this killer machine, and like light-skinned Mark Henry, and then you bring him up there and put a disco ball around his head. Like, you know, if they brought Adrian Neville in as like a ninja, I don't care what type of moves he does, it's not going to work. Like, you can't deviate too much. You can deviate some. You can add a little wrinkle here and there, but as long as you keep like the base of the character, then it works.
I don't see anyone that they can tweak to that point. Like, Zayn would kind of fit, like you said, ring-wise and talk-wise, but I'm not sure that he would fit looks-wise.
Hey, I'm sure they got some more hair dye they can give to them, so...
Well, it's not really just that. It's just he has a really young-looking face. He kind of has a baby face, if I would say so. And I guess it just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't fit for me for some reason into kind of a Shield mold. You don't necessarily need to have... two-tone hair and a scruffy beard to fit back in there.
Very true.
But,
I don't know. It's just they don't really... I can see why people were, like, sad for them breaking up. It's kind of like, you know, there's only so much you can do with a babyface faction. And it's kind of like they're in a boat where they have to fill spots. And people are leaving and people are hurt. Seth Rollins is perfect for that because he can do all the heavy lifting, all those tag matches. You know, him and Randy. I'm very curious to see him and Randy Orton like as a team against, you know, Ambrose and Reigns. I wouldn't necessarily be in a rush to replace it because it's kind of like if they do, people are going to crap on it. They're not even going to give it a fair shake. And by the time they do, you know, it's kind of like they're killing time for Roman Reigns to be ready. Everyone knows, kind of like, he's going to be a champ one day. Is he going to be next year at WrestleMania? or next year at SummerSlam, as long as he doesn't have a DUI or doesn't get hurt, he's going to be champ. And it's like, you know, you want to really rebuild the Shield up to a certain extent and then break him up again?
Yeah, no, I think it does lead back to that, what option do they really have? And, yeah, it does kind of, it gives you some a couple of singles wrestlers that maybe, well, Ambrose could help fill out something of a mid-card. I don't know, yeah, Reigns is ticketed for something higher, and I mean, I would think that Rollins is at this point too, really. Like, you don't put him in that spot if you think he's a waste of time.
Yeah, definitely. I will definitely say this. They have definitely made the Shield seem important, and they made all three of them seem important. And it was kind of like, you know, Rollins always seemed like the type, if anyone was going to be lost in the shuffle, it would be him. But you don't have to worry about that now, you know, Triple H picking him. You want to be, you know, Evolution, you're my man. Almost like, you know, you're the chosen one. That carries a lot of weight for whatever people think about Triple H, so I wouldn't be worried about Seth Rollins, and the other ones would be fine. So that's, instead of having a team, you got three bodies, three singles people, and you have a lot more options to fill the card out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a good move on their part, you know, and you did kind of say it too, is that it's either going to run its course too far, you know, it's either going to run out of steam and everyone's going to be like, dude, why'd you keep them together this long? Or it's going to be, yeah, you did it too early, and fuck it, they went it too early. And I don't think that's a problem.
It's kind of where, you know, it's almost where they, I don't know, dragging it out, but that Daniel Bryan, it's a combination between the Daniel Bryan injury, CM Punk not being there, and then the whole how they crept on Batista. Yeah, because it's kind of like the whole plan originally was, you know, we'll have Daniel Bryan and Batista, they can waste time in the main event, and then people can do whatever they want. I think it's, if had Batista just showed up at the Royal Rumble, it wasn't in, you know, any promos, and he just showed up surprise wanted, I think things have been a lot different. You know, I think his biggest problem was he felt like he was still in Daniel Bryan's spot. And ever since then, it's kind of, you know, you call him being a baby face, but you bring him in acting heelish. He's, you know, he's buddying up with Authority when they were heels. People already felt a certain way that Daniel Bryan lost. They wanted him to win the title. He lost to Bray Wyatt. He wasn't in the Royal Rumble. And then they see Batista coming in, you know, doing three moves and, you know, having to catch his breath. It's kind of like he's still in the spot. And then and CM Punk's not there. So it just looked, you know, he was just playing uphill there, and they had to change all their plans. And it worked to a certain extent, but now, you know, Daniel Bryan's not there, so you don't have a world champion. You have, you know, John Cena tied up with the Wyatts, and that's three people. And then you have three of your top heels. They're wrestling the Shield. So you got like seven, eight people that's tied up in two feuds. And people were saying, oh, why Daniel Bryan fighting Kane? Because Kane's tired. But I'm like, who else is he going to fight? You know, like, he's going to fight the Big Show. He's going to turn him heel. You know, he's going to fight Mark Henry. You know, he's going to turn Sheamus heel. He really, you know, he's not going to fight Alberto Del Rio. So they don't have, besides the Wyatts and Evolution, they don't have any credible heels. And that's a problem when you have a babyface champ. I mean, that's always been WWE's problem. When they haven't had good heels and they've had a babyface champ, they've always struggled. Always.
Well, now is definitely their chance to reset things in that department. Do you think there's any possibility they'd give the title to Rollins?
That would be a fun dynamic because, you know, I can see them doing that. He can definitely, he has the ring ability to do it. He can have Triple H and and Steph talk more. And then it's that whole, if they went that route, I could see them doing that and have Randy Orton be a babyface. Because it's kind of like leaning there. Like, he's a better heel than face. But the way that just, the way the whole thing with Evolution and how they book Randy Orton, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, they kind of nudging him. If he turned babyface, I wouldn't be surprised. More or less, because it's kind of like, you know, I'm the chosen guy, but you kind of kicked me the curb first. You kicked me the curb for Batista, and now you kicked me the curb for Seth Rollins. And, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm Randy Orton. And so...
Yeah, in some ways I'd enjoy that. I agree with you. I think he does better work as a heel, but the problem, it's been a consistent problem, is they kind of neutered him when he won the championship the first time around, Daniel Bryan there. And they did nothing, they've done nothing in the meantime to help repair that problem. And like you said, the Batista buildup was just, it was bad timing. And there's nothing more to it. And if he was going off to do a movie anyway, like, I don't know if this was already in his schedule or he got this after he signed that contract. But, you know, if he was going off to go do another movie, he was going to be jobbing anyway. So, I mean... If he had gotten the title, he wasn't going to have it for very long.
Yeah, that's true. It probably would have been like, you know, he's having the title, so Daniel Bryan can take the title from him. But, you know, they booked Randy Orton like they booked Chris Jericho when he won the Undisputed title. You know, like, Jericho beat The Rock and Stone Cold, and he got treated like a joke. Like, he won it based on, like, a fluky fashion. They never let him beat anybody, but any credibility was always kind of like, you know, it was almost like Stephanie had the belt, and Triple H was just waiting to take the belt from Stephanie and just have it on their face. And like Randy Orton was in the same boat, you know, he's the face of WWE, but like you always said, sometimes they're on the side, and sometimes they don't. Maybe we'll replace you, you know. We don't really think you can beat John Cena. Daniel Bryan already beat him clean a couple times. Or you bring in Batista. And it's kind of like, okay, now you're going to be a tag team. Now we got Seth Rollins. It's kind of like, if I'm Randy Orton, it's like, at a certain point, I got to lose my cool because I've been around for too long. Like, I'm Randy Orton. I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm beating everybody on the roster. You treat me like I'm joking. So.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I don't know. I was going to say, Daniel Bryan should be back, at least hopefully sooner rather than later, but who knows, I guess. Like, just making Orton a heel just would not help problem you were talking about earlier, though, about the WWE not having enough heels. Like, that's really, to me, the last thing they need to do right now is to turn Orton into a babyface.
That's true, but they need to make him important again. But it's almost the same, like, talked about with Cesaro and Lesnar, you know, how can you elevate Rollins and make him seem like a big deal and it not affect Randy Orton in a certain way? Like, they can't make them both big deals at the same time. I mean, they could, but they never worked. It was always, you know, somebody goes up at the expense of somebody else. And it's kind of like, you know, you're putting all the emphasis on Rollins. And it's kind of like, you know, you're devaluing Randy Orton even more. Like, now I see Randy Orton and he's just a sidekick. He was undisputed champion, not that, you know, going to WrestleMania. Now he's just, you know, he's badass Billy Gunn, more or less.
Oh, man. I hope he gets better music then, just like Billy Gunn. But, yeah, no, they've already seemed to be backing off of that, or at least backing him up a little bit by having him automatically qualify for the Money in the Bank match for the briefcases.
Yeah, I did like that. And I like that tweet. You know, enjoying my vacation. He's just lounging there looking like a dick.
And I don't, as much as I kind of entertained that idea of Rollins possibly capturing it, I think they'll end up having him fight, you know, some form of the Shield, you know, in some type of a match at the pay-per-view. So I don't think he's going to be available to do so. So I guess I don't even feel like that situation is going to be brought up, but, you know, had to throw it out there.
So the question would be, then who wins it?
I just feel like they're going to keep on going with the Daniel Bryan story, and to me, having him have to beat Randy Orton is just is a way to go. So I'm going to go with, at least at this point right now, in very early talks, I'm going to go with Orton.
I guess, but, like, again? I mean, like, it makes sense, but, like, I saw this this time last year, more or less. It was a few months, you know, it was, like, August, September instead of June was, like, I told Jeremy, he was saying how he's just sick of John Cena and Randy Orton. I'm like, the reason why is because you've seen them for over 10 years, and they haven't had that many breaks. Like, Randy Orton's had injury problems here and there. Cena had a few, but we always talk about, you know, for all the talk about, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold as being the top, they weren't the top that long. Like, Stone Cold probably had a good 4-year run, and a year and a half of that, he was out for injury. But, you know, like, he was Stone Cold in 98 by 2002. He was done. The Rock was, you know, by 2003, he was part-time making movies. Like, saw him for, like, 4 or 5 years. I've seen John Cena in the main event since 2004, 2005. It's 2014, and he's still around. He hasn't taken 2 years off. He's had one injury scare. He's missed a month here and there. But, like, I've seen him. I've seen Randy Orton. And I haven't seen anybody else. Like, you see CM Punk for a little bit, then you see Daniel Bryan. But even then, you know, people say, oh, Daniel Bryan, you know, he's a fresh face in the main event. He's a fresh face in the main event, but he's been wrestling a long time in WWE, too. Like, 5 years at least. You know, seeing him on NXT, like, time flies, because it's kind of like, oh, I remember when, you know, he was drinking soda with The Miz. And I'm like, and that was like 5 years, you know.
I remember when The Miz was relevant.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, even the people that are new aren't that new. You know, like The Shield, like, that's why, you know, people gravitate toward The Shield and The Wise, because they're, you know, relatively new. Even like CM Punk and all of them, and like Sheamus, you know, they've been around. They got, you know, they got mileage on them. I even, you know, like The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, and, you know, Kofi Kingston, like, they've been around for a long time. It's kind of, we don't think about it because, oh, I remember, you know, in that Gold Rush match in 2007, and then you realize 2007 was 7 years ago. So, yeah. And it's, you know, it's kind of like they're rebuilding the ranks with new people, but none of them are ready yet. So, I guess, you know, not gonna put the belt on Sheamus, like, put on Randy Orton, because who else? Randy's not necessarily old. It's just he's been there for a zillion years, and you're not used to seeing people around that long anymore, because usually they have shelf lives.
Right. Well, if you don't like my choice, we'll wrap things up after after your choice then.
I mean, they have two more spots to fill, so it's kind of like I can't make a prediction. Part of me would just, I hope they don't go Rusev. I mean, it's too soon. I don't see them doing it. I would laugh, though. It wouldn't be the first time WWE shoved somebody down the throat, because I remember Kozlov almost had a title run, and they pushed him. That was the last person they pushed it up to. Like, he beat The Undertaker clean on SmackDown, and everybody's kind of like, he ran a Triple H, and people realized, well, you know, it's not working. And seeing that they just cut that term comedy figure. Rusev's had, you know, he's more threatening, look like Kalo. He just always looked goofy, no matter how much they put on, you know, being a Sambo expert, and he was, you Nas and all this crap. He just looked like a goofball, no matter how much he made a big deal. So Rusev has to look. But it's like, you know, like you said, this isn't Rocky IV. I know Russia's in the news, but he's Bulgarian with a girl from Florida pretending to be Russian. We know this, so don't try to, you know, pull the wool over our eyes, but...
Yeah, and even then, it's not like... One of my favorite players in the NHL is Russian. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hate him. Maybe I should use that as the picture. Him taking a picture with Putin was just hilarious. Evgeny Malkin is who I'm talking about. And it's just like, I don't think that he's responsible for anything that Russia's doing currently. You know, I'm pretty sure that he did not order Putin to go into the Ukraine. I'm pretty sure he did not order Putin to execute any Chechen rebels. You know, it's just like, whatever. He's just an athlete who happens to be from a country that we dislike. Like, at this point, like, that...
And the worst part is, he's not even from there. They shoehorned him in, because this whole thing, you know...
Yeah, Bulgaria wasn't working.
I'm representing Bulgaria. It's like, you know, was that where Taken was? That WWE fan doesn't know anything about Bulgaria. They know they'll work. But, you know, Russia's still the boogeyman. You know, it's 2014... You can be safe hating on Soviets. You know, and it's not like, you know, it's either that what they're going to do, make them a Nazi.
Oh, man. Well, when Paul Heyman comes out with the Hitler mustache, I might pack my bag.
Oh, man, would that be I would love to be a fly on the wall that press meeting. Oh, we got a new echo. We're going to pass by you. What do you think?
It's not
a Hitler mustache. It's a Michael Jordan mustache. You know, they don't know the difference.
I did forget about that. How dare I say such a thing?
I think we hit all the topics, especially on that note.
Yeah, no, as usual, at Stunt Grant on Facebook, at Shaw Farm D, at DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Dusty, and Eric is still nowhere to be found. Maybe in Nashville at this point, I don't know.
It's probably Snowden somewhere. I'm surprised he didn't show up in a Titan Tron.
And yeah, I think that's about it. So I don't know. Do you sign off usually with Jeremy?
Yes, I do.
Okie doke. Well, I'm gonna go grab a beer and maybe do this right up. So I'm out, grandkids.
Okay, for Kevin DeFrango, this is Shahid with Ohadi. So you guys take it easy. Don't get locked up.